If you have your Bible and you'd open it up, if you want to John chapter 13, it's also going to be up on the big screens. I also want to ask anyone, if you do not own a Bible and you'd like one, oh, Ryan, where'd you go? Are you here? Or would you just grab a stack in there? I want to give those. Little Ryan, come up and help your dad, will you? You're now my second-hand assistant. Who needs a Bible tonight? I want to make sure that we give as many out. Don't be bashful. If you don't have one and you've never got one, I want to give you one. And there's no obligation, but take it, write your name in it, keep it, and use it. Wave your hand. Everybody wants one. And I also heard today it's Debbie's birthday. Where'd you go, Debbie? Yeah, come on, let's give her a big. She turned 34, 35 today or something like that. Yeah, and afterwards, Debbie, I made a cake. I mean, we bought a cake. But so I'm going to share just for a few moments tonight, and then we really want all of you to come out back, because it's part of what this weekend is about: communion together, fellowshipping together, loving one another, showing love to each other. And this, as I was studying this and reading this week, this just illuminated my heart in a way that maybe I've forgotten a little bit. Maybe, I don't know. I was sharing with a couple of the staff people today that sometimes I think you just get so busy and you just get doing things so much that maybe you lose your edge in the area of love and accepting people and accepting whoever it is. It's easy to love people that you love, but it takes another level to love people that you don't even know or that just come into your life obscurely, and you see a need and God calls you and I to show love to them, no matter who it is, and whether you get anything back or not. Come on, are you listening to me tonight? And that's the element that Jesus has come. And this word Monday, it's the word mandate or commandment, and it circles around this thought of Jesus calling you and I to love one another and to serve one another. And it's amazing time of the year. You know, this is so incredible to us because as a church, we celebrate 20 years this coming Sunday. I can't even believe it. Amen. I said to Aaron today, we were in the sanctuary praying, and I just stopped and I said, you know, when we started this, just a couple of years, I was a couple of years older than she is right now. And I looked at her and I said, wow, in another 20 years, what's going to happen? There's going to be incredible shifts happening in all of our lives. And if I can tell you anything tonight, it's to stay constant in serving the Lord. It's keep your eye on the cross. Keep your eye on doing things that make a difference. There's going to be an incredible amount of distractions that will try to come your way. And the world as we know it is changing on a daily basis. On a daily basis. Heard again on the news today that another enormous, one of the largest non-nuclear bombs was dropped in Afghanistan. The world as we know it is changing before us. Young kids, history is happening before you. Watch it, study it, learn it, lay it against God's word. So when you're of age, God can use you to have influence in the world that you live in. And never get caught up in the notion that, well, I just want to get out of here. I just want to be gone. Jesus in the scripture never tells us that. He tells us to always look up and always to watch and see when his appearing is coming. But he never tells us to pack our bags and just sit on the sidelines and wait. He says, occupy until I come. Do business. Occupy. Have influence in the world. And when your life is connected to the purposes and the plans of God, you're doing things in the world that you live in that make a difference. And if he comes tomorrow, okay, I'm out of here. But if he doesn't come for another 100 years, if you just sit on the sidelines and do absolutely nothing, you miss what God has called you to do. I ought to hear more amens tonight than that. And Jesus is, he's even making a reflection on this when we celebrate this night. It was the night just before the Passover festival. The Bible says in John chapter 13, verse 1, it was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Look at that scripture. He loved them right to the end. Wow, that just spoke to me so much. Verse 2 goes on to say, and the evening meal was in progress. Now, I want you to look at this. I want you to hear this. And it says that, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. I'm going to show you something in this in just a moment. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So here Jesus is with his disciples. They're celebrating the Passover meal together, the communion, the cup of the Lord. The evening was in progress. He was the living Son of God. He was, he is to come. He is the first. He is the last. He is the Word, the living God. He was God incarnate in the flesh. He knew everything that was taking place. There he is, sitting at the table. Monday, he turned tables over and he cleansed the temple. Tuesday, he had a massive fight with all the religious leaders. Wednesday, the Bible says he was silent. You'll have a silent time in your life when you're facing things in your life. And then Thursday, he gathers with his disciples to break bread. And in the midst of it, there arises some type of, one of the gospels shares about a disagreement about who is the greatest among them. And so Jesus, he discerns something. He says in Matthew chapter 23 in verse 11 and 12 that the greatest will be the servant of all. Some of you really need to hear that tonight. The greatest person will always be the servant. This is Jesus telling us this. And he looks around at the table and he steps into another dimension. And the Bible says in verse 4, he got up from the meal, he took off his outer clothing, and he wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and he began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Did you hear that? And we gloss over that so easy, but see, the reality is that it was in that day, it was a common courtesy that when people would come to your home, they would greet you with a kiss on the cheek, and then they would wash the feet of the guests, but not usually the host of the home. He would seldom wash anybody's feet. This was cultural then. But he would have somebody, a servant that was working with him, wash the feet of whoever came into his house, but not in that night. Here, the night before Jesus would be betrayed, he lays down a commandment to his disciples and to everybody from that point until now to show them that the greatest among them is the servant of all. And the scripture says that he knew who was going to betray him. And the Bible says that he still washed the feet of 12 disciples that night, knowing who was against him, knowing who was plotting to take his life, knowing who was empowered by Satan himself. And the Bible says that he washed their feet. Here he is, the Son of the living God, the Lamb of God, the Prince of Peace, the Alpha and the Omega, the first, the last, living water, the light of the world. Here he is, taking a towel, getting on his knees, and washing the disciples' feet. I want you to let that sink in just for a minute. And he tells us something in this. He describes that he stoops down and does something that everyone else thinks is too low to do. Jesus exemplifies what serving really is. You see, anybody can serve people that they know will give them a pat on the back, high five. Man, that was cool. Thank you so much. It's a joy to serve people that we know. But here Jesus is telling you and I not only to serve people that we know, but to serve those that we do not know. That people that come into our lives. And that's what we celebrate this night about, is a commandment not only to love people, but you can't serve people first unless you learn to love them. And God will always cause you and I to stop in our lives, and he will bring somebody to you that has a need that you can solve. And the question is tonight, are you going to stop long enough in your life and use what God has given you and empowered you to do and to be and to serve that person? And not just somebody that you know and not just somebody that you like. You have to allow an interruption from heaven above to say, I want you to stop and I want you to help that person. You know, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking we were in Home Depot. This might have been a year. It could have been longer ago. I think Chris was with me, and we were in Home Depot for something, and this little short elderly lady, she was looking for some fence, and she came up to me, and she must have thought I worked there. I did work for Home Depot one time, so maybe I had the HD swag going on me. I don't know. She said, can you tell me where this is, this fence? I go, well, no, but I'll help you find it. So we walked around. We said, that's what I need. What are you going to do that? I want to put a fence up in my yard to keep my neighbor's leaves from coming in my yard. I thought, well, that is a glorious thing to do right there. Good luck. I helped her get it down. We helped her get the stakes, and I said, now, who's going to put this up? She goes, well, I don't know that yet. I stopped for a moment. I know who can put that up. Chris can put that up. And I forgot who else that I got to help him. I might have did a little something. I don't know. Went over there, put that fence up. She said, now, we want to pay you for that. No, we don't want any money. What? You don't want any money? No, we don't want any money. And I've never told this story before. The Lord just brought this back to my memory. Left her. She called the church. Said, I want to give somebody money. We don't want your money. I'd love to do that. It was a year after that. This man that he's on some of the committees downtown in Batavia here. If I said his name, many of you probably know. He's an affluent businessman. Come walking up to me, and I'd seen him, and I knew him a little bit. Come walking up to me one day at some event that I was at, I don't know. It was at a city council meeting or something. He puts his hand out. He says, you know, I've never told you. I wanted to tell you thank you for helping my grandmother. And I'm thinking, who's your grandmother? Who's your mama? I don't know. Who's your grandmama? I don't know. And then he began to describe this little feisty, spunky lady that we helped put that fence up for. They helped keep the neighbor's leaves out of your yard. I'll never forget that. That was just so funny. Going to keep the neighbors out. I'm sick and tired of their leaves blowing in my yard. Going to put that fence up. We help her put her fence up. And I thought, had we not done that, would we have missed an opportunity to bless someone and to serve somebody? I wonder, when I was contemplating and I was thinking about this, how many times you and I have missed an opportunity that God has empowered us to do that we've walked right over and we have forgot completely about doing it for somebody. Because it's never just about you. And it's not even about whether you want to or you feel like doing it. Can I tell you, your attitude will follow your actions. Sometimes you're going to do some things, you don't even feel like it. You're feeling that push inside to do that. And God is, he's drawing you to do something, to love somebody, to serve somebody, to let somebody go before you. Not to be the first in line all the time. Because when you serve others, God changes lives, and the first one he changes is yours and mine. When you and I serve, he changes our lives. And not only in the church, but in our work. Listen, it's easy to serve people in the church. It's easy. It's fun. Well, most of the time it's fun. But it's easy to do that. But when you're outside of it and you have somebody calling you names or looking down at you, and God says, I want you to go and do this for them. That, my brothers and sisters, is when Jesus really takes over your life. And he begins to show you a part of your life that maybe you've missed. See, the greatest call of somebody I've learned over my life is not the greatest musicians or the singers or those who have got great talent. We've got people up in our office that they're so talented. They can do so many things. The great speakers and communicators. The greatest, Jesus says, is the one that will stop everything they're doing and be a servant to somebody with no credit coming to them. And if we are going to learn something about Maundy Thursday and what Jesus did at that table of getting down on his hands and knees and washing the feet of not only 11 disciples, but the 12th one who was full of the devil. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to love and serve God, you are going to serve some people that are full of the devil. I should hear a bigger amen than that tonight. You should. You ever hear? Maybe you've said it yourself. I just feel used. I did this for them, and look at what's happened to me. And I want to just say to you, you're right in the Father's perfect plan. You're right in his will. Nobody said thank you to me. Nobody appreciated what I did. God did. And he saw exactly what you did. And he also sees what you and I don't do. He empowers you to do things that you couldn't do on your own. He empowers you and I to bless people that without that you could never do it. He empowers you to make a difference in lives that maybe you don't even know exist today. You know, as I was praying in here today, we prayed over every one of these seats today. I laid my hands on every one of them. If you felt something when you sat down, that was an anointing that you felt. If you haven't felt it yet, just hang on. It could strike you at any moment. As I was praying, God, I pray because I'm cognizant of this 20-year thing. I'm cognizant of my age. I'm cognizant where I'm strong, I'm healthy, but I'm cognizant. I'm not foolish. I'm not going to live forever. But I'm asking God, I'm saying, God, there are people that aren't even born yet that you're going to let me have an impact in their life on. There are people in this house today, they were not even born when we started City Church, that I'm having an impact on today. And God will use you in that same way when you give and when you serve. It's never about you and what you can get. You are not consumers. What can I get? What can the church do for me? You are givers. What can I do for the world? And this is the message that Jesus teaches you and I on Maundy Thursday, to love one another and to serve one another like we have never served one another before. I want this to fit into your mind tonight. That are you willing to do whatever it takes? If God called you, and I've learned this, that when he showed us this picture about washing feet, and I've been in foot washing services before. I've had people wash my feet and they were as mean and nasty after they got done as when they started. The action didn't mean anything to them, but it's your heart that means everything. And I want to ask you tonight, I want just to leave this in your heart. I'm going to close here in just a moment. But are you willing to serve in an area where maybe nobody will even recognize that you're doing it? Where you can't be seen. Do you know there's people in this church today that are doing things you don't even know about? There's people that are serving and giving. There is somebody out here this week that swept that sidewalk. They spent probably 3 hours around this building sweeping every little piece of dirt. You don't even recognize it. You don't even know it. They weren't looking for any accolades, but God is going to bless them because of what they did. And he has something for you and I to do. What is the towel that God wants you to carry in your life? What have you been equipped to do? Who can you help today? What have you been walking over that God says, I want you to stop. I want you to have an impact on that person. I want you to show love. I want you to do something for them. When's the last time you just made dinner for somebody and took it to them? When's the last time you stepped up and you bought somebody's lunch or you bought their coffee? Or maybe you're a gardener and you just make enough for yourself. How about you making more for somebody else? How about you checking on that elderly person? How about you just asking God someday, Lord, I want to go to the Home Depot and I want to have an experience like Pastor Marty did. God, bring that elderly lady or elderly man to me. Just serve them now. Bring them to me so I can be a blessing to their lives as well. I want you to close your eyes. Father, I just thank you tonight for the power of your word, for the power of this night, for the power of this weekend together. Oh, Lord, these that have gathered tonight, Lord, we are family. We serve you. We honor you. We love you so much. We honor you. I pray that you will impact and imprint in every heart tonight the heart of a servant, the commandment that you spoke over our lives to serve one another, and not just those who we get along with and those who we love, but even serve the ones that are challenging and difficult for us to love and to serve. I ask you, God, to do that. I pray for every life and every heart that this weekend there will be a shift in their lives where love and life will come into them, and that they will glorify their God that is in heaven. We thank you for it. Lord, I pray for the food that we are about to partake in, that you will bless it. And God, we just give you honor for your kindness. Come on, can we just worship him just a minute? Can you just say thank you? Open up your mouth and just say, God, I thank you tonight. Come on, everybody, just say, God, I thank you tonight. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for what you've done for me, Lord. Thank you for your goodness to my life tonight. Hallelujah. We praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Just keep your eyes closed, your heads bowed just for a moment. As I was praying today, I was reminded that God, I don't know if I'm going to touch on it one other time this weekend, but I felt the Lord say he wanted to heal some bodies that were sick and afflicted. And if that's you tonight, if you just stretch your hand out to him. Let's just believe him for something beautiful tonight. We love you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Come on, church. Let's believe God. Lord, let us receive everything that you have for us tonight, I pray. I give you thanks, Lord. I pray for those who are sick and who are burdened with an affliction in their life. I pray healing over them now in the name of Jesus. Healing over their lives, I pray. Cancer to go. Heart disease to go. Dementia to go. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. Father, I just thank you for this family that's here tonight. Bless them in a beautiful way, I pray now. Thank you for our food that we're partaking in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I love you so much. I'm so happy to see every one of you. Now listen, don't leave tonight. We've got big, bad ushers at that door out there. Not going to let you go. You have to go.